Water, water everywhere in the Gospel of John. For this part of the reflection, it may be helpful to have sight of the PowerPoint slides showing water flows through the Gospel of John, but it isn't essential. The reading we heard from the Gospel of John is very familiar. I've preached on it many times and was keen to discern some new angle, some new insight I could bring for us to ponder today. As I set the reading in its broader context, I began to realise that the theme of water flows right through the Gospel, from its opening description of the work of John the Baptist, to the mix of blood and water that flows from the pierced heart of the crucified Christ. Let's take a look at this. John baptises with water, but the one who comes after him, he says, will baptise with the Spirit. The first sign of who Jesus is involves six huge stone jars of water normally used for purification, which become the finest of wine, assuaging the thirst of wedding guests. Nicodemus, a respected Pharisee, comes to Jesus by night, thirsty for insight and understanding, only to be told that he must be born of water and the Spirit. At Sukkah, an ancient sacred site for both Jews and Samaritans, a thirsty Jesus sits by a well, unable to draw water to drink until a woman arrives with a bucket. And their deep theological debate not only breaks taboos, it allows Jesus to speak of living water, and the ambiguity and parallel of literal and metaphorical water and thirst that has filled my thoughts this week is perhaps most clearly expressed. Then there is a man who's been unable to walk for 38 years, who has waited in vain beside the healing pool of Bethesda because he has no one to help him in when the waters are stirred. And Jesus heals him. And of course, as with the other Gospels, we have a record of Jesus walking on water. And then comes the temple celebration of the Feast of Tabernacles, to which Jesus goes and teaches the crowd. This festival involves a daily ritual of carrying water by night from the pool of Siloam to the temple, where it is poured over the altar, foreshadowing the prophecies of Zechariah and Ezekiel that the river of life will flow out from the temple. Soon after, Jesus encounters a man born blind who he sends to Siloam to wash and to be healed. And we'll think more about that next week. John doesn't actually have a Last Supper story. Then the nearest thing he does have, Jesus kneels at the feet of his friends and washes their feet. And then, immediately following his death, Jesus' body is run through with a sword, and a mix of blood and water flow from his side as the pericardium and heart are pierced. Water as amniotic fluid, the waters that break at childbirth, or as the pericardial fluid surrounding the heart. Water for ceremonial washing before a religious ceremony, or as a means of refreshing tired, dusty feet before a private meal. Water as sign and symbol of God's activity, or as a means of quenching the very real thirst of a very human Jesus. Water, water everywhere, but little or none of it to drink.